Welcome, everybody, to the Chop Sports Daily here on a Monday. It is September the 13th, as I'm looking at the 8th on my rundown. It is the Sturch, Gooch, AJ over there back from AC. He made it. And, of course, special guest, the host of the ever so popular, ever so highly downloaded, Jimmy Palumbo. So, Jimmy Palumbo, what's up, dude?
So good to be here on my first Daily Chop Sports Show.
All right, Jim, thanks for coming by. We'll see you next Monday.
The main reason why I came here is just to make sure that Chris would edit my show for the 6 a.m. time slot tomorrow morning. What's the over and under? We're gambling.
I love
that. My show's going to drop at 6 a.m. in the morning.
Well, it's going to get edited before I even leave the office today.
No way. That never happened.
Why are you here early?
Does that ever happen?
I told you that. I said, if you get here early, it'll get done.
Usually by the time I leave, it's like, all right, now I got to go eat dinner, reset. And then I kind of edit as I'm laying
passively
down.
Editing. Passively,
and
nicely
ready to go,
editing.
Bells and whistles done by the next morning. I've had a pretty solid schedule with no complaints thus far.
Good for
all
you.
Of a sudden, someone from Jimmy's website,
yes.
One of his people.
Really?
Yes.
Reached out to him and I said, why don't we
you have a web guy
episode up earlier?
Isn't that
it's our Steve.
Oh, okay.
So it's like something that
I have someone, our guy who built
no,
his
it's
web.
Just
okay,
someone,
I got
it's
it.
Just someone who knows what he's talking about. And he says, why does your show drop at 9 a.m.?
I don't disagree. And that's why I suggested come in a little bit earlier. So when I'm during
because as soon as we're done,
right.
I get edited here, and then
as soon as we're done, we're ready to rock.
You know what? This show's not about me. I'm just a guest here.
And it's not about you, Jimmy. Well, imagine that. But we will start off with what we probably saw at the very end of your night last night, which was the Yankees and the Mets. The Subway Series concludes with another Mets series win. Listen, when football season's here, it's a different ballgame for me, man. I actually prefer to watch the Rams and the Bears over the Yankees midseason. As weird as that is, I'm a massive Yankees fan, and I know it's the Subway Series, but I'm just like, football is just, first, it gets me going. But I did tune in around the seventh inning, right? And it was extravagant with what was transpiring in Queens. They're playing in Queens, right? Flushing's Queens, whatever. I forget the town.
And Carlos commenting on, not to touch on the comments, but Carlos is a Mets fan, and this is the one thorn in my side. Out of all the Mets fans I know, it's Carlos, without a doubt. He's the guy texted me.
I mean, we have a Mets podcast on our network, which I'm sure they'll be beaming this week. Jimmy, your takeaway from...
I thought it was, to me, as a Yankee fan, both teams stink, but... To me, as a Yankee, no, they do because their pitching stinks and their fielding stinks.
First of all, the Yankee
manager stinks.
The Yankee starting pitcher yesterday will be bagging groceries at the local Stop and Shop next week.
And so that's
a fact.
No,
and Chad Green right now is signing into Indeed, and he's trying to figure out where he can go.
Upload my resume.
Why do the Yankee bullpen pitchers, I feel like they all played on the 95 Yankees. Don't you feel that way? I think Chad Green he came up with Jeter. I feel like this guy's been pitching for...
He's an old soul, Jimmy.
I think both teams are...
Both
teams play bad baseball, but I thought it was the coolest Yankee game and Met game, really, in 15 years, only because Lindor, the big signing, who's done nothing all year, to be honest with you.
Settle.
He had a couple of big bombs. Sunday night, the place is going nuts, and then here comes Lindor was mocking out this whistle thing and talking trash to the Yankees, and here comes Giancarlo Stanton, my favorite player,
Jeanine's favorite player,
and Jeanine from Absolute Eyewear's least favorite player, and Stanton hits a bomb, and while he's rounding the bases, he's pointing out Lindor, and I'm like, the Yankees never do that. It was like
it was
looked like
chippy.
The Red Sox to
I'm
me.
Waiting for that.
It got chippy.
A-Rod.
It got very chippy.
That's why I loved A-Rod.
And then
A-Rod did do that.
And the game... stop. The game ended with Giancarlo at the plate.
Yeah, which is like poetic.
And he took two hacks at two fastballs down the middle.
Right.
And it
on
was
the
a cool,
screws.
It's one of those rare moments when your team loses and you're like, that was, if you were like a non-baseball fan just watching, that was cool. The problem is the Mets, I think, are three or four games out. There's always...
I think they're a lot closer than the Yankees are as far as like winning their division is concerned. Because they are. The Yankees are like 9-10 games out of the division.
They're four games out of the playoffs and four games out of the wild card. And the Yankees, three games?
Mets are three games out.
And the Yankees are a game out. Playoffs are the playoffs. Whether you're the wild card or division winner, no one cares.
Well, listen.
Anyway, it was a fun game to watch. It was nice to see, Lindor's the star. of the team, and he hit three bombs.
I mean, look, so that's why you pay the big bucks for these guys. That's
the only playoff baseball that both New York teams are going
to
get.
That's really that's what I said to, I believe it was one of the Grassos. I forget which one. There's a million of them. And he goes, he literally posted a status in Chop Sports saying, I'm checking in with the Chop Father, Dave Sturcio, to see how the Yankees did. And I was like, that was a great win. Good luck in the playoffs. Right? And he's like, well, stop deflecting. You know, I was like, no. Good luck in the playoffs. Because if that's if you guys think you got, you know, you're big and bad, puff your chest out because you beat the Yankees, that's great. If you're not in the postseason, this game doesn't matter. Matter at all. But sorry, listen, folks. Sorry to break that to you.
I'm not a Met fan, but
unless,
you know,
we won it, then it would have mattered.
Then it would have definitely. It don't matter because we lost.
Always remember that Met fans and Jet fans and like Eagle fans. And even Cowboy fans, they're funnier than Giant fans and Yankees. They're just funny. They're cocky. The Cowboy fans are cocky. The Met and Jet fans haven't won.
I'm sitting right here.
Yeah, they haven't won. You're cocky about your Cowboys.
I'm not cocky about my team. No, I know I'm just if saying, my team it's
just,
is.
Met fans are funny in the stadium. It was just a fun game in Queens to watch. The announcers were all over it. They were very accurate.
A-Rod's a fantastic announcer, by the way. A-Rod, a lot of people give him slack. I usually don't like him a lot.
But he was correct on a lot of his before pitch calls, like you got.
He's a baseball guy. That's the guy you need in a booth. That's the Tony Romo of broadcasting.
He's A-Rod and he's a douche. So we'll move on from A-Rod.
So the Mets take it.
Can we talk about something else that makes me sick?
Okay,
football.
Let's talk football.
Oh, you know what?
Oh no, we got college football first.
I will say this. It was a quote off my when the Yankees did win. I did say, "Hey Mets, put it in the books on Saturday." It was definitely a dig. I'm sitting at the bar on Friday night, by my lonesome, practically. You know, like, there's nobody around. It's my birthday. And I'm like, I would really like a Yankees ass kicking of the Mets tonight. And it burned me. The Mets kicked the shit out of the Yankees. And I'm like, well, happy birthday, Dave. You know what I mean? And then, well, that's fine. And then when they won the next night, I did put it in the books. And one guy was like, oh, I can't believe you said that. You know, with Howie just had surgery. I'm like, yeah, because I knew that. You know, like, I was definitely taking a dig at Howie Rose. Like, give me a break. But anyway, yes, Mets win. That's it. Put it behind you. Put it in the books. It's over. All right? The Yankees and the Mets are done. Both teams aren't making the playoffs, so it doesn't matter. College football, we do have
the Scarlet McKnights getting involved here. We do have. From the Omni.
Undefeated Rutgers Scarlet Knights so far.
Rutgers is 2-0. And for the first, they've been 2-0 before, but usually one of those wins was against like Hampton or Linden or Carteret.
Mm-hmm.
Just the first time they beat normal Division I college teams. Syracuse in the Carrier Dome is always a bitch.
How beautiful is that dome, by the way? They really did some upgrade. That place looks awesome to play
in. It's a really cool place to get.
I would definitely like to do that in a bucket list situation.
And I think Syracuse has a great front four. And they disrupted the Rutgers offense. We didn't do anything. But our defense didn't let Syracuse do anything. And you know what?
Boy, Mike Taberdoff.
2-0.
Motore got a sack.
2-0. Heading into Delaware. A very winnable game. And we could be 3-0. And then the season kind of
goes in flux.
You got Michigan, right?
You got Michigan, then Ohio State.
Oh, and then the actual Big 12.
Ohio State now has already got their L.
Shiano's done a great job because he decided to have a preseason.
Mm-hmm.
So his preseason games were Temple, Syracuse, and Delaware.
There you go.
And then the regular season starts against Michigan.
If they beat Delaware, can they pop into the AJ, top 25 for a second and a half?
Close
AJ,
today.
Could you pull up the line on the Delaware Rutgers game?
There's no line.
There's no line. You can't.
Oh, they don't put a line up? They're Division II?
Yeah. So what have you Delaware? I think so.
It's not D2. It's called FCS.
FBS.
In any event, you said about Ohio State coming up on the schedule.
Ohio State got
quack,
beat.
Quack, quack, quack. The Ducks. Yeah, they handed them an L. That's pretty impressive. And I said that the week before. I said it to AJ. I said, look, is it more like Ohio State won the game, they put up a big, big points on Minnesota, but Minnesota scored 30-something points on Ohio State.
And I said,
that could be alarming. And sure as shit, here we are. Oregon wins in week two. And all of a sudden, Ohio State is not, I wouldn't say reeling, but I wouldn't say that they're Ohio State of old.
Right.
Mark it down right now. Rutgers beats Ohio State this year.
That's a bold take.
AJ goes silent over there. His headphones fall off his head.
There's a writer in Columbus, Ohio, about 5 years ago, and he put headlines of the sports section. It just said, Talk about a bold prediction. He wrote, Rutgers will never beat Ohio State.
Think about that prediction.
Until 2021.
Like, imagine you're a writer and you're like, I'm going to predict something. That this college, who we're going to play for the you know 100 years from now, we're playing, will never beat us.
I did find this out. You said a writer did that? I did find this out in my years of journalism that we, as the writers, don't make the headline. So, like, somebody might have wrote the story, and then somebody was like,
yeah, I know.
Watch but, this.
Okay.
Bottom line, we don't write the headline. There's actually people that get paid to write the headline.
I know, but I read the article, and he pretty much said how Rutgers is never going to win. But the funny thing is, you could actually, though, you could actually make the argument that he's right, very much so. We haven't come.
There's no argument.
There's no argument there. So you think they're going to have a real hard time ever beating Ohio State.
Is that game in New Jersey when they play?
I agree with that.
It is at home.
No, I do. But the funny thing is that it's really it's an accurate statement.
Yeah, it's just accurate. Funny. Why? Like, they've been playing each other for what? 5 years?
Even if I was an Ohio State fan, I wouldn't even want to. Like, you never want to put that in. Like, never?
Never is a long time, folks.
So, anyway,
let's see.
Rutgers is 2-0.
Florida State losing to Jacksonville State.
They probably thought the same thing about Jacksonville State, though, that they would never beat Florida State.
I didn't see this game. I didn't see this game, but was there a real planting of the flag? Was that a thing? Yeah, your mic's off there, bro.
The Jacksonville State players went to midfield, and they took their, I guess, Jacksonville State flag, and they just planted that bitch right in the middle of the
field. Because you know what? I know a couple friends and almost family. As weird as that sounds. I know people down in Jacksonville, and they're all Florida State fans. You know what I mean? So, like, Florida State is big in the city of Jacksonville. So, for Jacksonville State to do that, that's pretty nice. I mean, Florida State, again, week one, they should have never. Now they're 0-2.
Aaron Rodgers is like
Florida State stinks.
Florida State is not good right now. They're not in a good situation to be in.
You know, we're not really talking about the overall. First of all, you got to talk about the Toledo Notre Dame thing. I know, but the most amazing thing is like,
are we
Alabama just never lose. I used to like Alabama when Saban first started, but now as a fan of college football, unless you live in Alabama. I think the entire world is rooting for whoever Alabama plays. Like, someone has to beat this team.
They're just an unstoppable force. They literally roll teams over. And I don't think incredible. There's something to be said about their recruiting. And now you can give them contract practically through the NIL. Like, come to Alabama. We'll pay you $1 million if you come to Alabama.
Did you see the NIL deal that's happening with the WWE?
Your boy Stevenson.
They signed Gable Stevenson. He won the gold medal, and instead of going into MMA or WWE, he's going back to college wrestling again to defend his national.
But WWE is going to sell his merch.
And the WWE is going to make merch for him, and then as soon as he graduates, they're going to put him right in.
If there was only a company in New Jersey that made merchandise and sold it for these NIL. Listen, oh, wait a second.
I think it's great for the non-revenue generating pro sports of these people. I think the NIL agreement is actually for them. The other people, by the way, those guys get money anyway. Money gets siphoned through illegally in your white envelopes in your mailbox. But now the NIL for the kid or wrestler, that's a perfect thing. There's no pro wrestling. You break your ass, you're spitting up blood to try to cut weight, and then your career ends, and then you work at some company and you get fat or you get thin. Now he'll be able to make some money and then go on to, I think it's a great thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Toledo, almost upsetting Notre Dame. Notre Dame, because of that, falls out of the top 10.
Almost beat him. I mean, come on, it's a minute to go.
I didn't see the game, so I'm looking at my rundown.
Minutes ago, they punched it in.
Yeah?
But Notre Dame, you know, listen, Chip Kelly, I was going to say Jim Kelly. The Notre Dame is another team that they don't lose that much either in the last 4 or 5 years. So that's still a win for them. And they're
still
regroup.
Independent. They didn't join anybody, right?
They play the ACC football schedule.
Which is so, like, I think they joined the ACC last year because of the COVID year. But, like, now they're independent again.
They're independent.
Correct, but I'm saying last year, I think they joined the ACC.
No, 3 or 4 years ago.
Oh, wow. Jesus
but they didn't join Christ. The ACC. No, but by the way, so they're not a member of the ACC.
No, I know. They're independent.
They're independent, but because they're so powerful, Notre Dame is really, it's Alabama and Notre Dame, two most powerful programs, even some half the NFL teams. They cut a deal with, like, listen, do you mind if we play your schools because you need the television ratings?
I was going to say, we have ABC ratings.
Notre Dame has a TV show. Well, it's called Notre Dame Football on NBC.
Things are going to have to change, though. Notre Dame is going to have to enter a conference. Otherwise, they're literally not going to have competition because all these super conferences, there's not going to be enough room on the schedule if these teams are lining up.
I heard. I think
ACC is going to make a play for them to be a full-time member, but so is the Big Ten.
Was it Texas Tech? One of the colleges, like, already announced that they're going to be joining, like, the Big 12, right? And it's not official, but yet they're at pregame, they're waving Big 12 flags. Like, I swear, I was like, that's a power flex. Like, you basically said, we're out where we are, we're going here, and we're just gonna celebrate that.
Who was it? Texas Tech. I think they're already in
college the football's changed forever.
Somebody moved to the Big 12 and we're fucking waving a flag pregame. I'm like, you're not even in the Big 12 yet. Like, you're waving the flag. It's amazing. But anyway, so the NFL week one, Gooch was not well. Neither was Jimmy. Neither were. I'm going to take this moral victory until they play again.
Jesus Christ!
I'm glad that Jimmy's here to. Now
I'll sum it up like this: the chick who blew you off at the bar was better looking than the girl who blew us off. That's really it, right? Nobody got laid, right or wrong. And the girl I was talking to was a beast. The girl you were talking to was decent looking, and then she like sucked face with another guy in front of you.
But I had the Tom Brady of good looking girls.
Good looking girls.
You know what I'm saying?
And she walked out at like a quarter to two.
I was like, right, but wait.
Goodbye. We're all 0-1.
0-1.
Yes, yep. We are all 0-1. We are just
so.
So who do you want for the first overall pick next year? Because we're gonna have the second one. So who do you want?
We need another quarterback. We need a third quarterback.
I will say this: something I heard on the radio this morning, which was really interesting, Jordan and it's Love not even close. No. Well, that too, but that's a fact. But like the thing was, all summer long, right? All spring and summer, where me and you, how many debates do we have about Aaron Rodgers, right? And the ESPN, well, we don't know if he's going to show up, blah 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 blah, right? What if the theory is that? Remember, we were calling it an Aaron Rodgers revenge tour. What if the revenge is him saying, I don't give a shit. I don't give a shit. You know, and I just don't care. I've got my money. But I'm out this year.
That I don't even have a rebuttal to that.
Because it's that dumb.
The furthest thing from true.
I agree.
But I'll tell you one thing, though. You can make the look of it is, the optics are that, you know, clearly week one, it did look like a guy who maybe was distracted all summer. And he didn't play well week one. My theory that Rodgers and Brady were going to shit the bed this year was only half true so far. But I just think Rodgers had a bad game and he'll throw four touchdowns.
We're going to talk about the Packers game.
Yeah, we'll run it down. We'll start. AJ, hit us up with the first game we'll talk about because we got a couple ones to discuss. The Eagles get off to a red hot start here in week one. They take out the Falcons. Now, I must preface this and I must say that we watched this game. We were here. If you guys got to watch the Chop Sauce Daily or Chop Sauce Live yesterday, we were on for 6.5 hours. Okay. A 6.5 hour stream. So shout out to everybody who watched that because it was a fun time. We all got relatively buzzed. It was fun. But and shout out to the Sauce who crushed his picks. And this is why you should tune in every week because he's going to give you those picks every single week. If you just tune in, make your plays, win $1,000 every week.
Now, what was his pick, Eagles Falcons?
I don't know if he even picked this game, to be honest.
I don't think he touched that.
No, actually, I think he bet on every game. He has to. That's like his thing. So he's actually in the chat. So if he wants to tell us what his play was. But I think he won like 10 games. And that's hard to do in week one. In week one, you know, when nobody knows anything. But I will say this. The Falcons, and I said it in the Wednesday edition when we took the actual standings and actual records. I said the Falcons would win two games all year. And it looked like they're going to win two games all year. They are very bad. Matt Ryan looks very old overnight. Like, we knew he was getting old and we knew he was coming to the end, but he looked very, very bad. And the Eagles, yes, they put up the points, but I'm not sold yet. They beat a very bad team. Obviously, it's week one, so we really can't like jump over them.
But they did beat the shit out of the team that they played.
Well, so you're supposed to beat the bad teams, right? Correct.
Supposed to do. They showed up. Their offensive line looked really good. There was huge lanes. Jalen Hurts is a football player. He could throw the ball. He could run it. He was getting out of bad situations with his legs. And their defensive line showed up. Atlanta couldn't do anything. Their game script was confusing because they were getting thumped. And Calvin Ridley got zero targets.
Did anybody see any like calling Kyle Pitts? Did he do anything?
Arthur Smith, new coordinator in Atlanta this year?
The reason why Atlanta
is the head coach.
Now,
Or head coach?
Yeah, bro.
The reason why Atlanta stinks is because of their second half against New England in the Super Bowl. So
they haven't recovered
since. I equate that horrific performance by the entire staff, even though they fired all that staff, it just bled down to the players. And Atlanta will always stink now.
There's been a, I don't know, like even last year, the Dallas game when Atlanta gave, like they blew.
That was the watermelon kick.
Last year. There's almost this, I guess maybe you're right, like a culture in Atlanta right now where they, once they have a big lead, they're like all looking at each other. We're like, well.
Well, they never had a big lead here.
When?
It's not like the Yankees ever came back against the Braves. Just throwing Atlanta under the bus.
1996.
Listen, our ratings in Atlanta are huge right now. So but I got to be careful of my people
in
Atlanta.
Look, it's week one. I know like people label these things as overreaction Mondays, you know, when people are just like, I can't believe this happened. I still don't think the Eagles are going to be very good, but they beat a bad team and they're 1-0. And that's it. You can't write it any other way. In the standings, they're the only team in the NFC East to win.
After week one, after everything I say good about a team and bad about a team, except for the select few teams like Kansas City, you know, is going to be there. I'm almost going to end it with saying, but you don't know, because I honestly have to throw away my game film, so I can't really put too much stock into everybody else.
All right.
So we'll see on all these teams, but it's good to see Philly, for Philly fans, the offensive line.
It's good,
well.
Philly fans. You guys can enjoy Jalen this Hurts one well. Week of football. Congratulations.
I mean, the Eagles sucked last year, but maybe they improved.
Well, they got a lot of guys back. Like their offensive line, they had two pros.
And the kid scored.
Two.
Devonta Smith scored his first NFL touchdown yesterday, so that's a thing.
And how did he get to the Eagles?
A draft?
The Giants fucked up.
What? How did? Oh, the Giants. Yeah, ruined that one. That was all the. Actually, no. The Dallas Cowboys made a trade
that's
back
why I'm looking
and
at
gave
you,
and gave them this kid. And look, he might be good, and the quarterback might be whatever. We'll find out. But like, you know, I'm not putting too much stock into the Eagles beating the shit out of a bad team. Not doing it. Sorry.
Yeah, he had a better game than.
Moving on. What do we got?
He had a better game than Micah Parsons.
Ay-vey. So all right, there was nobody in this office yesterday in this studio that was more hyped for the Jets than me, and we have a Jets fan here. You know. AJ is the resident Jets guy here, and I feel like I was more pumped to see this kid do his thing. And I was more pumped to see, like, could Sam Darnold, like, get a little bit of a revenge thing? Like, it was a good story. You know what I mean? Like, a story for week one. Very bad game. But here's the – I'll tell you right now. Guess what, folks? This is how you beat the Carolina Panthers. Spy Christian McCaffrey, because that's all they did yesterday. When times were rough, they dumped it off, and he was getting 6 to 7 yards a clip no matter what. So that's unstoppable. If you don't have a fast linebacker on this kid, or even a safety or a corner, somebody enough, that team could move the ball. Did they move the ball against a bad Jets defense? Yeah, they did. So this is another case of the
Jets defense, out of all the units – They showed up. They bent, but they didn't really break. There was only a couple times.
They only gave up 19 points. Yeah,
an awful game. It's just that their offense was completely non-existent for the first 50 minutes of the game.
Well, I think overall the NFL yesterday, what games I watched, it looked like no one has played football since last season because a lot of the players
nobody
didn't.
Played. Yeah, nobody
and you
plays.
Can't match these scrimmages with actual game fans screaming. Signals coming in, coaches. You know, the coaches got to communicate. It, to me, again, uneducated opinion. The games I watched, it was at a bar. There was like 10 games going on. It looked like all the teams were like just not on the same page yet, and that's because the NFL set it up that way by not playing their stars during the preseason.
Yeah, so. I will say this. But my thoughts as far as Zach Wilson is concerned, there was times where there was a couple passes where I looked at Kyle and I was like, oh, man, this is yikes, you know. But then there were a couple times where he flushed himself out of the pocket and threw a laser. So I think there's definitely promise with Zach Wilson. I think this is just getting that first game out of the way. Let's feel this out. It's the Carolina Panthers. It's on the road. Let's see this kid get back home. You know, let's see him next week when he's got Mac Jones in his face. You know what I mean? Like head to head.
To not mention Carolina Panthers -3.5 was the sauce bet of the day.
It was the bet of the day. And he might have said it 54 times yesterday on the broadcast that was the bet of the day. And I think so. I just went. So
he
won 19 situations, I guess you can call bets, like overs, unders, everything. The games itself. He went 19-7 yesterday.
No, it was over the weekend.
The weekend. Okay. Well, whatever the case
may be. In college.
He's betting college too.
So if you bet $100 a game, he's up.
Oh, he's up big. Yeah, absolutely. He's up big.
I would like to. You know me with these, again, I was on a radio station with someone nameless who was big on predictions.
Drop his name, Jimmy. We don't play that game.
The only problem is nobody ever because it's the way it's done with radio, no one actually really looks back and says, like you said, he went 19-7. Let's see how he does next weekend. And if he's like, if he's 19-7 every week, then you're like, wow, this guy's
by tomorrow
bad.
We'll find but out.
What happens is there's those weeks where, you know, 9-9.
No, I've been watching him for 2 straight
he's
seasons
that good?
Now, and he's good. And when he has a bad week, he owns it. He steps up.
I love that.
Takes his heat.
Yeah, no, he takes him. It's fading. People fade
but
the sauce.
Week one in the NFL is almost like a coin toss.
To do that in week one without even seeing any actual game film on these teams, these new teams, to win all those games, that's impressive.
Now, are you in a suicide pool?
I am. I took the 49ers. We'll get into that. Okay. Everybody and their mother should have took the 49ers.
Who did
but
you take?
San Fran.
See, okay. Everybody took San Fran. But anyway, we'll get into that. So I am excited about Wilson. We'll see what he does. Steelers. Now, this was the pretty much the best game of the day as far as like two powerhouse teams that are on the rise. We said the Steelers might have some regression with Big Ben. They get the job done in Buffalo, which is, to me, that's a hard place to play. Your week one game. And look, I can't say anything about Najee Harris. He did nothing. But the Steelers defense... Oh, against Steelers Josh is
gonna,
Allen was
is going to be the
good.
Same that they were last year. They're going to win them a ton of games because it's not like Big Ben's a scrub. He might be washed, but Big Ben could at least manage the game, and he has three receivers on the outside that
correct.
Can play well.
All make plays.
The offensive line is his question. I'll go ahead, Jimmy.
You got to give it up to the Steelers because, I mean, Tomlin started coaching them, what, 1964?
It seems that way, yeah.
I feel like he's been there since I was in grade school.
He came in right after Cower.
And the Steelers really – you know what I love about certain teams? And I guess you could say maybe the Yankees fit this category. I don't know. The Steelers never suck. I'm sure they have. I'm just
there was a year that Ben was out for the year, right, and they were just like, they struggled.
I mean, there's like a few teams in sports you could say, you know what? They never suck.
Last year they sucked, and they were 12-4. And
that's what I'm saying.
They weren't that good at football last year, and they won 12 games.
Towards the end of the year, they really weren't a team that was good, but they were 12-4 still.
I mean, they got a rude awakening in round one.
They limped
into the playoffs. I know, but it's like, as a Cowboy fan, Giant fan, we have gone through seasons where like, this team stinks. Yet the Steelers, you can almost go like...
I will say, like as much as, and this is a true story, you know, I personally hate that with all my burning passion, hate Philly, Washington, and the Giants, right?
Right.
My dad to this day, I know for a fact, he still hates the Steelers more than any team in the NFL because of the 70s and everything that happened
in
that. So that's why I know for a fact that he's hoping that this team just doesn't get off to the right start, but it seems like they did. And TJ Watt cashes in like a day before this after his little hold in or whatever they're calling it. And he just terrorized them.
It's unbelievable.
Like,
it's
Josh Allen. Like, and you know what? Shout out to Gooch because he said the Bills would regress a little bit. And I'm not saying this is a regression. That's a hard team to play. But the Bills looked like shit at home. So, and that's tough.
And something else I want to note is that Pittsburgh really wasn't blitzing the entire game.
It's the front.
The front four was able to get such good pressure on Josh Allen. It was absurd.
It's crazy. Absolutely
that's why
crazy.
I don't.
Buffalo's offensive line or is it Pittsburgh's D line?
I want to give the leg up to the Pittsburgh D line. I think they played exceptional, and I think that's going to be the catalyst to give him some wins this year. When Ben can't light up the scoreboard, I think the defense is going to keep him in every game.
If I was a GM, I would draft a defensive lineman and an offensive lineman with every pick for 4 years in a row, and I guarantee you're not a bad team. When you put pressure without blitzing, that is such a you disrupt. The only way to beat Brady is to rush him up the middle, but they know that's coming, so they defend
against him. That's why he has the fastest release in football, right. That's why it burns you every time.
But if you pressure the quarterback with your front four, that's how the Giants won 2 Super Bowls. It's just and Steelers do it, and so the good teams really pressure without that Lawrence Taylor.
It just makes
blitz.
Up for a lot of deficiencies in other places when you correct. Get to the quarterback.
Makes your cornerbacks better.
Yeah, after the secondary don't have to cover long enough.
And,
right,
that's and the rules in the NFL now, you can't even breathe on the guy if you're a cornerback.
Yeah, the Packers got robbed yesterday.
The legitimate worst call.
We were down 31-3, and they called the roughing the passer. Then it took any hope. We already lost the game.
Right. I mean, the game was in hand, but that way, oh man, we'll get into that.
A team that was getting destroyed.
You know, myself and Gooch are both getting a little older. One of the first things to go is your vision. Thank goodness for our hookup over at Absolute Eyewear in Woodbridge, New Jersey, right on Main Street next to the train station. They have glasses for all ages, all budgets. They have safety glasses, sports glasses. They are a full-service powerhouse offering eye exams and even free lenses for the kids. They work with BCBS, AAA, AARP, giving massive discounts. They're open 5 days a week, closed on Wednesdays and Sundays. Call 732-326-3937 to get your first pair of Ray-Ban, Burberry, Coach, Polo, you name it, they got it. Go see Craig and Janine right now. Moving on to one of the thrillers of the day, the Cincinnati Bengals, who I called and said that they were going to win six games with Joe Burrow, get one of them out the way. You know what I'm saying? This is big for them because I said Minnesota was going to struggle this year, and to lose the opening game like this in overtime with, by the way, according to stats,
I saw it too, and I was like,
the first team ever to win an overtime game with 0.00 on the clock in overtime. The first time this has ever happened. So an untimed down. I mean, I know for whatever reason, we weren't watching that game. And like Kyle was like pulling it up on his phone. He's like, oh, it's third. Oh, it's they're going to kick the field. Oh, no, timeout. Ice the kicker. I didn't know this until I got
basically,
home.
Basically, they went to overtime on the last play of the game with no time. And they won it in overtime with
0-0-0 on the clock.
Both times.
But it was an untimed down. So it wasn't like, unless it was the time expired. It was
a defensive penalty. And then with
had to have, right? But am I wrong? That could be
that's
right.
That's one of those weird, quirky stats.
I have some more quirky stats for you guys. So the Bengals have been involved in four of the last 10 ties in the NFL. Another thing that I found out is the Bengals as a franchise have never scored a touchdown in overtime. Not once.
Wow. In the history of their team?
In the history of the team.
That's unbelievable. That's a great stat.
And the Bengals, not for nothing.
I didn't even pay attention.
The Bengals have never scored in overtime.
As sports fans, as diehards of your teams, and I know this is going to sound ridiculous. Would you rather tie or lose?
Tie. Don't even, right, Dave?
I'm just saying, like,
whoa, it depends.
Tying is like kissing your sister. NFL, it is the worst feeling in the world. You couldn't get it done.
The NFL goes out of their way. They go out of their way to avoid anybody tying. Because you know what it screws up? Bro, it screws up all
listen,
the.
Listen, I know I'm on the record first, wise. It just feels.
It's just not even a debate.
I know.
No, I disagree. If your team is 6-9 and you tie. It screws up. Even the guy who does the newspaper's got to move the thing over. That's to
fine.
Put the one
in. That's fine. But when you're fucking waiting for that playoff spot and you're like, oh, thank God we tied because we got that.
I know, but
game.
That's you being smart. We're talking about.
I'm just talking about. I don't think I've ever seen. I could be definitely wrong. I've been watching the Cowboys since 91. I don't think I've ever seen a tie.
I watched the
Cowboys. I don't know.
Minnesota, the game that Clay Matthews got that.
Oh, that was another bullshit penalty. Yeah.
We
I'm
going to
go
Minnesota
on record.
We
I don't think the Cowboys have tied in the last 25 years.
And also have not won a Super Bowl.
I really don't think they have.
I don't think so either.
The Giants have a few times.
All right. Well, Minnesota sucks. Cincinnati also sucks. So.
But the main question is Joe Mixon back?
Yeah, for week one. Yeah, he's back. And I even said, I was like, looking svelte, looking fast, looking quick, and then leave it up to a turf toe in week three where it's going to put him out for 3 weeks. This guy can't stay healthy. I'm not sold on Joe Mixon yet. Yesterday, he had a phenomenal fantasy day and probably propelled a lot of teams to their wins. But I don't foresee this being a sustainable thing. The guy is hurt every year. That's why Giovanni Bernard was such a stud there.
He could be this year's Dalvin Cook where he finally doesn't get hurt. Maybe.
Sure, but he's got to do it first.
Because they do have a lot of receivers on the outside. They have a quarterback now.
So maybe they're saying
maybe
like
they
there's
just
not
don't
enough
have
stack.
To use him as
he doesn't
much.
Take enough hits.
He's not going to be facing those nine man fronts every single play.
Oh,
he saw the most in football, I think, over the last 2 years. So
and shout out to Freezing Cold Takes. What somebody posted in Chop Sports right before the weekend started about Jamar Chase not being able to see the football, and they're like, oh, thank God I didn't draft this guy. He went off yesterday. Jamar Chase is that dude, and so did T. Higgins. The only guy who didn't catch a touchdown, I think, was Tyler Boyd, and he's the one I figured is going to eat, you know what I mean,
did
most.
T. Higgins get hurt? Is that real?
T. Higgins was dehydrated, so he went out of the game for
you know
a
what?
Bit.
I'm pretty dehydrated. Maybe I should take off the rest of this podcast.
But anyway, Joe Mixon,
you would
I'll believe
be
sorely it.
Missed.
I believe it when I see it with Joe Mixon. Next, here is the game
water
where
on camera you drink that water on camera.
Yes,
makes
of course. What are you going to do?
Look at the size of that water. You really can't get.
I got one over here. We're good, boy.
You know what? For the live show, you can't get a
regular. If I
got
to go to the bathroom, I don't have to leave.
I was busy setting up this extra shit for the new set because Jimmy came today. Now
listen
he's
to
complaining
me.
About my
food. Who told me he was coming at
10:45? Please write in this. Should they have a normal little water bottle, which 99% of every student in America has, or these cow water buckets He's got that one. You got one from ShopRite.
Oh, damn it. Times are tough.
Oh, my God.
Try owning a small business.
Right, San Francisco, Detroit. Everybody's survivor.
Favorite survivor pick last, and everybody wins. However, I will say this. They covered as well, which, again, this is the wonderful world of gambling. The Niners were up 38-10. Okay, they won 41-33. So this is how you know there's always a little shistiness going on where it's like little gamesmanship here for those gamblers out there. But I will say this, Jared Goff, I mean, there's not enough. I don't know. It's week one, very small sample size. I don't know his stat line.
No moral victories. Detroit's well on their way to 0-17. You know, they got, look at this. This is what happened. They got the shit beat out of them. 38-10, and then San Francisco stopped playing, and they fought
definitely
their way back in.
Pedal off the metal.
Backdoor cover. But I'm not going to sit here and tip my cap to Detroit. They got starched. It would be like me being like, oh, Green Bay, you know, if they would have had another quarter, you know, no.
Detroit's going to win a game.
What?
You know what? Houston already won a game.
Houston.
I told you they were going.
Me and Gooch said Houston wouldn't win a game. They won a game.
Chiefs were going to go, they almost won.
20-0. They almost won. But I will say this.
Almost don't
count. Jared Goff is in a very piss-poor situation right now. His offense is not good. His head coach is biting kneecaps. What?
DeAndre Swift played fucking exceptional.
Can you say he murdered it? Huh?
He had 11 targets.
No. He killed it?
I know, but
you see where I'm going?
He didn't. I do, but he didn't. We don't want to keep on putting out murderous slander on a guy's name that didn't actually murder somebody. Anyway, but he did have 11 targets.
Has it been dead?
And if the Detroit Lions are going to be losing a lot of football games, which we all expect them to, DeAndre Swift might get 10 targets a game on top of whatever rushing attempts they give him. So I was kind of...
I did pick up Jamal Williams. He played
bullish,
well, too.
When you're bullish on someone, but what if you're the opposite? Stock
bearish.
I'm bearish. I was bearish on DeAndre Swift. I'm definitely bullish. If you could buy him now at a shitty rate, maybe someone still thinks he's up for murder charges and they're trying to dump him off for the team. But DeAndre Swift, him and Montgomery are going to go neck and neck.
Yeah, Montgomery looked exceptional as well.
We'll talk about that, too, though.
Jared Goff, I think, deserves a little bit of respect. The guy threw for 338 yards, 3 touchdowns.
Again, though, you get on my case about inflated stats. This guy, there was nothing there, and there was nobody covering anybody.
He doesn't have a single goddamn weapon. He has TJ Hockenson, who looks like he's part of the fucking Amish mafia. And then literally besides that, who else is on that team? Why do you think DeAndre Swift is getting 11 targets? There's nobody to throw to. I'm going to give props to Jared Goff. He's in a shitty situation. He looked good out there, and he looked like he had some confidence. That's all I'm going to say.
All right. Listen. This is why we debate. Yeah. This is why we debate.
I think Detroit sucks too.
They suck so bad. But Jared Goff, respect
me,
for my
San Francisco
man.
Detroit debate is not worth really.
No.
Anywho,
another game that is.
Is there any updates on Trey Sermon though? Real fast before we move off.
What
San
was the
Fran?
Deal? He got outed.
Healthy
he was
scratch.
Ruled out late.
A late scratch, but I don't know if that
it was a healthy scratch. But you could buy that T-shirt.
It could have been something that he missed a meeting or some rookie.
I don't know. That might be a rookie thing. Maybe he's just like
just
wasn't ready.
I can't.
There was a couple situations where I'm like, why are they not playing?
He did well in the preseason.
Freaking Odell Beckham, another one, decided, I'm just not going to be playing this week.
Like, he didn't play at all?
All right, moving on. AJ, anyway. If you get that, we'll come
back.
Yeah,
that's fine.
But nobody
all right,
knows.
So the Cardinals take care of business. What happened to the Titans? We're all touting the Titans about their offense and how high power they are. 13 points. Is the Cardinals defense that legit? Like we said, like I said, Captain America went over there. J.J. Watt was over there. Chandler Jones. They have tacklers over there. Buda Baker.
Ryan Tannehill had Daniel Jones syndrome yesterday. He couldn't hold the football. He turned it over every time I looked up.
He was fumbling.
Arizona
was picking
it off, or he was fumbling the ball, and you're never going to win with your quarterback playing like that.
You know who didn't play like that? Kyler Murray. God, bro. I've never seen a quarterback, maybe Lamar Jackson in his running style, but I know Kyler Murray's got a better cannon for an arm, in my opinion. But Kyler Murray is legitimate. Like, the people use the term human joystick. He really is. He's like playing Madden. There was literally one play where he scrambled right, scrambled left, stopped, scrambled back again, waited, and then threw a seed. Like, first of all, props to the Arizona Cardinals for their offensive line, whatever, you know, for holding them that long. But, dude, this kid, I've said it. The Arizona Cardinals could be very good or they could be very bad. They beat a very good team, but you said it a couple weeks ago that the Tennessee Titans defense was bad.
Defense is absolutely potentially their secondary might be the worst in football.
Next to the Falcons.
That's saying a lot because I don't believe in about 10 secondaries. I think they all suck in the NFL right now. But, yeah, the Titans are not going to stop anybody. Hammer the over in the Titans game all year. And even this game, I think, went under, actually.
It did. Remember they didn't score in the fourth quarter?
It stuck at 51 for about 20 minutes.
Yeah, so we were waiting for more scores to happen for Kyle's bet. It just wasn't happening. Titans, nobody was scoring.
You'll imagine that the Titans will fix what they got going on. It's week one. I don't want to say the Cardinals aren't good because they just beat up on a good team on the road. Yeah, it is on the road, right? Yeah. But I still don't believe in their head coach. And last year they were like 4-1 and they shit the bed.
Well,
the
it's second. The NFL.
That's another one. Chandler Jones, 5 sacks, bro. 5.
It's, like, it's the NFL, so there's like 74 more games to go. How long is it going?
No, it's a 17-game season. Even though Jimmy made his predictions based off a 16-game schedule, he doesn't believe in it. It's not happening. So
I respect
that's
all people should make the predictions on the 16 games. You make the playoffs at 10-6.
Because how many times are you going to get like stopped? Like, you know, the Giants, they could probably go 9-7. Wait a second. And I'm like, here's the extra game, and I'm like, right. The Cardinals look good, and you know, we'll see. The Titans are missing Arthur Smith. I think that's definitely a topic of conversation, considering the fact that yes, the Cardinals defense played good, but it just looks so vanilla. I mean, look, you make mistakes, you're gonna lose football games. That's just the way. Unless you're Tampa Bay, who turned the ball over 4 times last week and still won the game. 9 times out of 10, if you lose the turnover battle, you're gonna lose the game. It's just the way the NFL works. And I don't know if it's an Arthur Smith thing or I don't know if it's a Tannehill thing, but, you know, they got a week to get it right. So, anywho.
I found out a little more about Trey Sermon.
So okay.
He doesn't have any injuries. He got benched because Kyle Shanahan dresses three RBs, and he said Sermon didn't deserve to be one.
Okay. Well, that's alarming for Trey Sermon owners.
That's called a coach's decision, DNP.
Did not participate.
That is a Thibodeau special right there.
How many times have we watched the injury report in Knicks? What do you mean they didn't practice?
Seattle versus Indiana.
Okay, so the Carson Wentz debut did not go what?
No, I'm just fucking shitty game that I don't feel like talking about.
Okay. But the Carson Wentz special, his first game as a Colt, you know, again, I didn't like Carson Wentz since he was an Eagle. I mean, that's just my personal thing. So when he got there to Indianapolis, I was like, all right, well, I don't have to hate him anymore, you know? But he didn't play well. I will say this, Russell Wilson, though, he played well. And it's hard to say. That's another one. We talk about the Steelers never sucking. As long as Russell Wilson and Pete Carroll are a tandem, that team might not suck.
Seattle's definitely on a nice run of not sucking for
right.
a while.
it's a topic of conversation. They're not sucking. Russ Wilson dominates. Tyler Lockett scores. Metcalf scores. Carson looks great. Chris Carson, that is. Not Carson Wentz. He looks like shit. But again, it's going to be one of those years for the Colts. And I think there was a podcast who faded the Colts completely, you know, and said that they're not going to be any good. And that was me and Gooch. And there was other people getting on our ass about saying the Colts are definitely going to win 10 games at least. And it doesn't look, I mean, look, again, overreaction Monday.
They played a good team. I think the Colts are still a good team. They're just going to win 9 games, not 10.
There it is.
Just short.
Perfect. I love it.
So they're going to be 10-6. No, 10-7.
No, you have to get another game carry.
So
the
to
one.
Me, 10-7 means you stink.
Yeah, let's go. All right. So bigger news. The Washington football team might be without a quarterback going forward. We don't know the actual diagnosis as I check my phone to see.
I do have the diagnosis.
Am I the only one whenever I see Washington football team, the WFT thinks it's saying, what the fuck? The Chargers played. What the fuck?
Wait, so we do know it's a sub. What is that?
A hip subluxation.
So basically, he broke his hip.
Something along
those
lines.
Didn't Chris have that last week?
Yeah. And Bo Jackson had the same thing, I think.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, look, Fitz is older. You know, he's on the wrong side of his 35.
61.
You know what I mean?
Like, he's 61.
He's 61 years old.
He's been in the league since Roman Gabriel.
From the description of what had happened, Dina was here. She's the pick bitch. She was running the boards yesterday. She's like, it says he got crunched. I said, well, now you're seeing the hip thing. He got crunched. And it sucks because that was their go-to for the Washington football team's success this year. They said, we're going to get a guy like Ryan Fitzpatrick, journeyman. He'll sling it around. We got some young receivers, good playmakers on the outside. Gibson, a great running back on the rise. And now you're back to Tyler Heinicke, who almost won a playoff game last year after the Washington football team won and got into the playoffs and lost. But
I love watching Fitzpatrick play because you know what he looks like? He looks like the guy at the end of the bar, the biker bar, who says, I can do as good as this guy. And then walks over to the stadium and throws three touchdown passes.
And you know what, though? He looks I hope you enjoyed watching Fitzpatrick play because it looks to me like he might be done.
He might. And that's a really tough injury.
I'm a Fitzpatrick.
I am a Fitzmagic fan. My brother met him one time.
I hate injuries like that. It's like, I mean, I hate when any quarterback gets.
Such a smart dude, a humble guy. Yeah, you hate to see any injuries ever.
Right.
But when it comes to a legend like Ryan Fitzpatrick, it sucks. But on the flip side of this, you do have to say, the Chargers look okay. Eckler looks okay. You know, those guys look okay. And then, you know, I personally have to deep dive into the Chargers this week with a bunch of my 18 Dallas Cowboy podcasts. I have to go in on the Chargers now. And they got a win. They're going to open up their stadium next week, which last night the place was rocking. So, I'm worried about that. But they didn't look great. They got by and they beat the Washington football team.
I think they look better than...
Like Keenan Allen was a no-show.
Washington football team's defense is solid. So they did what they had to do.
Yeah, but I think the Redskins were just as good as the Giants because the Eagle coach last year had moral guidelines.
Who are the Redskins again?
Or the Washington football team. Sorry. The what the fucks. No, I don't think the Redskins. Oh, jeez, I can't. You know what?
You're never gonna. It's. We're okay with it. I'm okay with it.
I don't think Washington's that good because they probably shouldn't have made the playoffs if the Eagle coach, you know, had any kind of morals and didn't put in Dave to quarterback.
I haven't known to throw the pigskin a quarter mile. What are you talking about? But anyway, Washington's 0-1. LA's 1-0. That both teams go. Well, Washington actually has the short week, technical short week, as they open up. Somebody's O has got to go as the Washington football team will take on the New York football Giants on a thrilling matchup on Thursday Night Football. I'm sure that ratings will be through the roof.
And you know they're playing at RFK, not the name of the stadium.
FedEx Field.
No, it's RFK.
Yeah, RFK forever. Just like for me, for Pittsburgh, it's always going to be Three Rivers Stadium. Oh, always, no matter what.
Absolutely.
All right, so how old am I? So the most exciting game of the afternoon because of one man, and that one man has now been renamed here at Chop Sports, Ty God Taylor, and that's kudos to AJ for giving him that nickname. I don't foresee that being a sticking nickname.
It's a very sarcastic nickname.
Are you the nickname liaison here at Chop Sports?
Unless you want to take that too, that's up to you.
I can't.
But
these guys suck.
Yeah, Taylor played good. The Jaguars, Trevor Lawrence. What you're looking? What
they friggin' stink?
Well, Trevor Lawrence, The topic of conversation here across
rookies,
the feed is
rookies.
Who needs Deshaun Watson? They need Deshaun Watson. If they want to win games, but the fact that he didn't dress, he wasn't there, there was no press on him, like, that's it. Like, that ship has sailed, and now, oh my God.
The story here is Urban Meyer.
Oh my God.
Bum.
I got a theory, and this is going to suck for me. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm here to tell you right now, and I was thinking Cam Newton first, but now... What if the Washington football team makes a play for Deshaun Watson? What better piece of shit owner like Daniel Snyder to bring in a womanizer like Deshaun Watson?
There is.
The culture has changed, they say, over Washington.
There is no team in the NFL making a move on Deshaun Watson right now.
But he hasn't even been suspended. That's the issue.
No team in the NFL is making a trade for Deshaun Watson until this is cleared up. It's just not going to happen.
Wait, you just said that Daniel Snyder, if Dak Prescott hurts his knee this week, no one's out there going, what are you talking about?
No shot. We'd go Cam Newton before that. We would not bring that piece of garbage in there.
For bringing in complete pieces of garbage.
When's the last time the Cowboys brought in a piece of garbage?
Greg Hardy.
That was 2014.
No,
15,
there was
whatever.
It was a receiver that was a jerk off. Come on.
Who?
I forget his name.
Alvin Smith was a linebacker, but that's the
somebody
only other guy
was a jerk off.
Who? What'd you say?
The biggest jerk off in the last decade of NFL football is Greg Hardy. So you win. You got the biggest jerk off there is. So let's
anywho,
we're moving forward.
Washington's So anyway, now on to the real game of the week, which is out of order on my rundown.
The
game of the week.
The New York Football Giants against the Denver Broncos.
I will say, did we skip over? Or this is where we're going?
I just had the graphics out of order. Let's go ahead and do this, please.
Okay, so we'll take on
Giants play
Denver off. New York Giants game. Now we had Big Ben Bad Wexler in here. I definitely ruined that. Big bad Ben Wexler in here, or he's just a bad. He was in here watching his Giants. He threw off his jersey three times onto the floor. Very upset, says his team stinks. Jimmy, you're the Giant fan. What do you got out of this team?
I didn't like, you know, last year when I started watching the Giants, in the beginning of the season when I started watching them, I thought the Giants were either defending the end zone to win the game or throwing into the end zone to win the game. And I'm like, this went on for a couple weeks. I'm like, you know what? The Giants are, you know, they're fun to watch. They're like, they stink, but they're like, you know. But this game was one of those games where even though it was 10-7 for a long time, there's just nothing going on there. They have no offensive line. I'm tired of all you Barkley defenders. He was, what was he, 16 carries for 12 yards. I mean, the line stinks. Shouldn't have, it was just bad. There's no, Daniel Jones, there's nothing going on there.
He's
got to be in the top five worst quarterbacks.
AJ, right. Just out of curiosity, what did the Giants' first-round pick wide receiver do yesterday?
Kadarius Toney?
Yes. I'm going to be remiss to say that he didn't dress.
No, he did. They ran a sweep to him, which got snuffed.
Yeah, okay, cool.
Well, you know why? He hasn't played since week 7 last year for the Flood.
I can't for the life of me understand how you don't address the offensive line in the draft. It's pathetic. You have
4 years in a row.
You have one of the premier backs in the league when healthy, right? You put all the stock into Daniel Jones to be your future quarterback. You have okay receiver. You invested in Kenny Galladay, right? The other kids, Shepard and Slayton, they're okay.
You got yourself
a decent tight end in Kyle Rudolph if he was there. And Evan Engram is young and he's got the dropsies, but he's okay. That offense could be good, but you guys decided to say, you know what? I think we'd rather have a fifth receiver on my team. Rather than grab the biggest offensive lineman and trade back and do this and do that. I understand.
Horrible.
As a Cowboys fan, bro, I know it's not sexy to draft a lineman. It's not exciting, right? You don't get to buy the jersey right away. These aren't the playmakers. But, dude, from 2013 to 2017, the Cowboys had no sexy picks, but they had the best offensive line in football for a minute. You know what I mean? And then they got old, and that's what happens. But I don't understand the logic. I don't understand what the Giants are doing.
The Giants, I don't know their future schedule. Well, this week the Redskins got a decent line, so the Giants are going to struggle. The only way the Giants are going to, we should bet the Giants, if they play a team that doesn't pressure the quarterback with their wide receivers, the Giants could cause you some trouble. But every team they play with a decent front,
it's going to be rough.
I don't see it.
It's going to be tough sledding for them, man.
Nate Soldier there. I mean, he's another guy who's been playing since 85. And he was supposed to be
on that Patriots
team
that went to the Super Bowl.
He sat out last year, took a pay cut. He makes like $8 an hour now. And he ends up starting his
minimum wage. But I'm telling you, they don't want to address it, and that's fine. Listen, as a Cowboy fan, I love it. Like, keep doing what you're doing, Giants, because you're going to be in the basement for the rest of the time.
How about Jerry Judy's broken ankle?
Well, he didn't. It's a high ankle sprain is what they're calling it. So
really?
Yes.
It's a high ankle sprain. Thank God, dude.
Yeah,
it's
not. That will take you out for a while.
It will. You know, some high ankle sprain means he won't play till 2026.
Right.
And it also means he'll never, ever be the same. That never heals. When it rains, when he's 45 years old, it rains, he's going to go,
That's the TO injury from the Super Bowl year when he was like high ankle sprain, the horse collar thing. He comes back, plays in the Super Bowl, and does what he
does. Actually, a broken ankle is better because that heals. Bones heal.
High ankle sprain means
you're done.
And now the pressure's on Teddy Two Gloves or Teddy H2O. But, you know, he's got Cortland Sutton and the Noah Fant's good.
They're all right. Denver.
Melvin Gordon cut the dreads and improved his speed.
Remember, you got to play at Denver so no one can breathe.
Correct.
So and here comes Denver with a fourth quarter win because the other team simply could not breathe. We'll be right back. I remember the Nuggets one year, only they literally were like, they were the worst team in the league and all their wins were at home. Because an NBA team shows up, you know, all liquored up from the night before.
Right.
And they show up suddenly, Coach, I can't breathe. Listen,
it's bad out
Denver
there.
Ties it here.
And leave it up to Denver where you can't breathe to legalize marijuana first.
Exactly right.
So let's screw up your lungs just a little bit more.
If you ever go skiing in Colorado, just remember when you get up, especially if you go to one of these areas,
by the way,
you can't breathe while you're skiing. Just letting you know.
But if you're from Denver, uh-huh. you could breathe even better when you go to other places. So it actually doesn't fuck up your lungs to breathe in that air.
You get used to it. That's why.
Hard. Yeah, no, it's just like anything else. Like,
doesn't the Ethiopian marathon team practice in Denver? I mean, that's what it, you can't they breathe really there.
They might actually do that. Right.
So, I don't know about them particularly.
That's not out of the realm of possibility.
Last time I went skiing in Colorado, it was the highest place in the world running around.
No, no, no.
There was I was working out with the Ethiopian marathon team, and
there
was a sign that said you are now skiing in the highest point in North America, and I was like, okay, I can't breathe, and then the alcohol don't taste right. It's like it's awful. It's awful.
Sure awful. Kenyan.
Maybe it's Kenyan. Ethiopian Kenyan.
It's
one of those countries.
And it takes one episode for Jimmy Palumbo to cancel the podcast.
No, I wasn't saying it racist.
I know.
One of those Olympic teams that dump. And by the way, if you ever watch the Olympics, do you realize how fast those guys finish the marathon? Like, I run a 5K in a half hour. That guy runs a marathon. It's like 47 minutes.
First of all, Jimmy. No way.
You're not running a 5K in a half hour.
I definitely did. You never heard my 5K story?
No, right now.
I could do it. Maybe 32 minutes.
Get the fuck out of here.
There's no way.
6 years ago, I guess 6 years ago, I...
Right now.
This, I have a hard
this
time.
This is how I know running is stupid.
I can't.
This is how I know running should be banned. I actually decided to run a 5K in Ramsey. I ran a little bit a couple months before, right? And I finished 30 minutes, okay? The next year, I didn't run once. I didn't even go outside for a year. And I ran 30 minutes, 30 seconds. I said to myself, I only lost 30 seconds. I can't believe
I went and trained with those Kenyans in Colorado.
So my theory is you don't have to train at all.
All right. Well,
but my brother runs marathons.
So train to exercise? Right.
You don't think I can run a two, Jimmy,
I saw a video the other day of pickleball, and I was hard-pressed to say, like, Jimmy can't play this sport either.
I'm 100%
positive that you cannot run a 30-minute 5K. Well,
sounds like a bet is coming to Chop Sports Network.
AJ, Google 5K races in the Mattawan regional area. I think there's one
Jimmy,
of Ramsey.
Jimmy's on the podcast. Jimmy's on the podcast, but the entire time, like when the marathon comes up, you're getting with a 5K. You're like stretching.
No. Listen to me. If I do this, I'm gonna have I want the complete technology GoPro on the helmet. Matter of fact, we're doing the. This show is going live from my 5K.
We'll do it for charity.
30 minutes is
not. I'm not running.
I'm not running either. I can't even go up the stairs. Like,
but 30 minutes is shitty.
I know, but it's still 10-minute miles for 30.
What do you got, AJ? Anything?
I'll tell you. We got one September 19th.
Jimmy. It is 6 days away. Can you get ready? It's 16.
When's the next one?
We got the September 19th Run to Remember 5K.
You're not training for this. This is
but when's the next one? It's Monday. They don't have a Monday. They don't have 5Ks on Tuesday mornings at 8 o'clock. I'll go out tomorrow. I'll get my shorts on, and I'll just run around a little bit.
Oh, my God.
See how far I can go in 30 minutes.
And by the way, the Giants still stink. What's the next game?
All right. Let's head over to the Chiefs and the Browns.
Okay, Chiefs-Browns. So, obviously, Cleveland got off to a nice little start. Had Kansas City... on the ropes, I'll say in air quotes because I don't firmly believe they're on the ropes ever.
Ill-advised pass at the end of the game. He got hit as he threw.
Yeah,
it was a terrible play by him. He should have not thrown that pass. They would have been at the 50-yard line with a minute to go.
I don't know, but I look, the Kansas City Chiefs. I called it. I mean, I called them winning a lot like this year. They almost lost Week One, but the Chiefs are the Chiefs, and I think they're just going to continue to roll and do their thing. And as the year gets better. Longer, they'll get even better. Travis Kelce played out of his mind again.
It's just that team, they get the ball in
space. It's like a street football team. How many times have Mahomes like run out
I'm not going to sit here and talk bad about Mahomes. How can you?
He's all world.
He's a great player.
That said, these passes that he's throwing, they're not good passes. The touchdowns, maybe the two to Kelce were good passes.
They get to the receiver.
That one fell dead to Tyreek Hill. I know which one you're talking about.
He's uncorking 60-yard bombs, though, and they're a little falling a little flat.
And they're being caught like fair catches.
By themselves. Like, how do you let Tyreek Hill just stand by himself 60 yards downfield? How are you not like, all right, no matter what happens, you're keeping your eyes on him, correct, and you're keeping your eyes on him.
And Tyreek Hill almost did the backflip thing, but he knows there's a penalty now involved in it this year.
They're probably going to send him a memo and saying, don't even fake like you're going to do it. because you're showing up the ref. I guarantee they do that.
You think he fines him for that?
No, he's not going to get fined, but he's going to hear from the league.
Interesting.
If I run a 5K in 30 minutes, I'm doing a backflip at the end of the race.
Jimmy, there's nothing that you're going to do at the end of that 30 minutes besides fucking take a seat.
I'll probably puke.
And die.
I'll be puking.
And heel over.
You
and
might
die.
Be able to slap a base hit over the second baseman's head, but that's about it.
And it was hard to find one of those in the fall season. It
takes me 30 minutes to get to second base on a double down.
It does, especially when we slow down the video. Did the Browns show they could be contenders this year, according to AJ's rundown here? I think they can. I think Absolutely. Baker Mayfield is good and serviceable and can make a lot of plays. And when Beckham gets back out there, which you said half a man, half a season, and it's proven to be true.
Well, the Browns theory is the same as your Cowboy theory. They played one of the better teams in the league, and they played them really, really well. So as bright as you are about the Cowboys, you have to be just as bright about the Browns.
The Cowboys could be a playoff team.
But the Browns were a playoff team.
Oh, you mean were a playoff team. So they're supposed to, yeah.
So, well, then
I feel like we could see this matchup in the playoffs again. And
I would love to.
Cleveland has enough to go into this game with some confidence because they really shot themselves in the foot late in that game by the big plays at the end.
Correct.
They controlled the game pretty much the entire time. Nick Chubb looked fucking great. Cleveland's offensive line was opening up holes that you could drive a bus through.
It literally looked like every single time the running back got a ball, it looked like he was shot out of a cannon.
So Kansas City, as well as they played down the stretch, they definitely have some glaring deficiencies.
Yeah, they got to make
it's week one. But, yeah, they're going to have trouble stopping rushing teams like that.
Agreed. The Browns will not be the Browns this year. All right, the Dolphins squeaking one by over the New England Patriots. Mac Jones, everybody was kind of waiting to see what this kid can do in a real, you know, real game scenario. Personally, there was one guy who said, like, oh, he's overrated, you know, chop sports. And it caught, like, a lot of people are like, based on what? I can't wait to see how overrated Mac Jones. Based on what? His four series that he played in the preseason? Like, let it go.
I thought he looked okay.
I think he looked fine. Poised. I kind of looked at him and said, first of all, I was like, is that Drew Locke? Like, it's very similar stature, swag. Like, he had the guys willing to play for him on the sidelines. I really believe that the Patriots team...
He didn't win that job for no reason.
Like, exactly. They didn't cut Cam Newton because Mac Jones was okay.
The players are on board with Mac Jones.
Oh, yeah. No, I
actually think it's a bad loss for New England because...
It's a division loss, too.
It's a division loss. New England, you know Belichick's really... You know, of smoke coming out of his ears to this whole Brady thing. Without Brady, you suck. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And to lose to Miami, who's, you know, Miami is the opposite. They haven't been good really in a long time.
They're getting better. They're on the rise.
Is Brian Flores
but
a Belichick
That's
guy?
A game you got to win.
Off that tree? Yes, he is.
Right? So there's familiarity. The coach, the Miami Dolphins coach.
Comes from the Belichick coaching tree.
Yeah, but I think that's a game New England has to win.
Of course. But that's why it's even that's more a bad little, loss, a little more fuel. Opinion. But Miami... That's a team that plays tough for their coach.
Tua,
even since they were like almost winless 2 years ago, down the stretch, Flores had them playing real good.
I liked how Tua played. I do think that there's a lot of, you know, is it kinks?
And there's
kinks
a Rutgers
in the armor,
connection.
Right? That's what it's called. Kinks in the armor.
He got some weapons now.
He does, and Waddle looked good, and Devontae Parker is always going to be a stud, and Gesicki was blanked. I don't know what happened there, but they still get
Will Fuller back in a couple weeks.
No, next week. Will Fuller's back.
They got a nice trio of receivers.
And there's a Rutgers connection. One of the assistant coaches on Miami is a Campanile who with the Brandon Catholic and
almost
Nunzio.
A lot of guys that coach for Belichick. He loves Rutgers.
Loves
for whatever
him.
Reason.
Yep.
So look. Tua is serviceable. They get the win. That's 1-0. 1-0 in the division. Those are the games you got to win.
I think it'll be good. You know, I always think it's good for the NFL when the powerhouse 70s teams get good again. Like, Miami's been bad for like 30 years.
Mm.
Like, I'm not a Dolphin fan. I don't hate them or like them, but like, it'll be cool
My
to
mom's
see the
a
Dolphins.
Dolphin fan.
It'll be cool. It'll be good for the NFL for the Dolphins to be good.
I have
again.
A hard time.
Agreed.
I have always, even still, even though Tampa Bay won last year, I have a hard time believing in any teams that play down south in Florida. I don't know why. I think that once playoff football comes and you have to go up to Buffalo, you have to go up to New England, Pittsburgh, Baltimore, everywhere where it's even remotely cold, if you're coming from Miami, I think that's always shot Miami in the foot throughout the Marino era.
What if you got guys everything. Who played in Nebraska and Minnesota all
this
year?
This is true.
I understand. And then live in, you know, and then live in South Florida for
listen,
the last... Five.
Didn't Tampa Bay have that one rule that after below 32 degrees?
All right.
Win and win, yeah.
Game of the week. Time for Gooch to eat some crow here. The New Orleans Saints went into Jacksonville to host this game.
What happened to the Pack?
The brakes off the Packers. Now, I'm not here to gloat and thank God the Packers lost. I've said it from day one. If the Packers are good... Everybody's in a better mood around these parts. Same thing with the Cowboys. I'm in a better mood if the Cowboys win and everybody around me will be in a better mood. Gooch, We got to get your thoughts, man.
What happened?
It is what happened to the Green Bay Packers in week one.
I didn't have one single thing to cheer about. Even the field goal was off of a bullshit letdown. We had two touchdowns dropped on that series. Literally, they couldn't block, they couldn't pass, they couldn't run. We got outcoached. More so than anything, we got outcoached. Because when nothing works at all throughout the entire game, what are you going
to
do?
So you're saying McCarthy's coaching them? They're only down by three with a minute to go?
No. I'm saying McCarthy gets outcoached as well. McCarthy got outcoached the other day, if you want to know the truth.
What do you think? So, you think Rodgers just an aberration, just a bad game?
What else could you do? He's had games like this in the past, San Fran. Even last year against Tampa Bay week two. Even what was it? Tampa Bay last year lost to the Saints. Thanks
same way.
For this tidbit, 38-3 on opening day, and Tampa Bay turned it around. So
right.
It's an anomaly. That's all I could say about it because I can't sit here and act like I predicted Green Bay to win the Super Bowl after 1 week of them completely shitting the bed. These are the types of games where I hope, as a coach, they say, look, throw away the film. We didn't do anything right. You know, maybe leave it up to the position coaches to kind of, you know, hone in the skills on the players. But really, as a team, what do you say?
I asked you a question because, again, the Packers, to me, were a team that should just kind of cruise in this division and get to the playoffs and do all their thing, and Aaron Rodgers is still good, right?
This is yours.
Do you have a feeling? Is there a feel? Like, I know, and I said this to you when we talk about the Cowboys and the Packers because it's like, you know the roster top to bottom, right? And, like, everybody on the roster to you is – they're okay, right? They're okay. Well,
I dislike some of the guys.
Right, but I'm saying, like, I dislike Jalen Smith, but, you know, it is what it is. I think he stinks. But, like, do you feel a little bit nervous that Davante Adams is the only guy that can really, really make a difference at the outsides? Like, I don't think you guys have a wide receiver, too, after watching 1 week of football. It's only 1 week, but, like, your Lazards, your Vantus Scantlings, your new kid Rodgers, like, Funches you lost in the preseason. Even, I almost said Mark Chamora. Even Tanyan was blanked. You know, like, is this like, hey, everybody, gang up on Adams, there's nobody else?
No, because the same exact receivers were there last year, and Rodgers won an MVP.
I don't know, man. So it's just weird.
Maybe there's a little bit of
and Randall Cobb
coaching
now.
Coaching on the other teams are figuring it out, but this is one game against a really good team. I think the Saints going into the year were one of those teams where, like, all right, the Saints have been good for about a decade, and because they lost Drew Brees, who in some ways was probably holding that team back.
I know Craig said that yesterday, right? And I thought it was crazy.
They lost Drew Brees, so their identity was gone. But then they get this kid Jameis Winston who comes in, and he's a former first pick overall. It's not like he doesn't have the pedigree. He was just in a risk it for a biscuit situation in Tampa Bay, and it doesn't fit his style. Honestly, I don't think he threw an incomplete pass until the second quarter. He only had 90 passing yards. So when you look at a game, it wasn't like Green Bay got completely dominated. They turned the ball over in bad spots. They got zero first downs, right? And then the punts were returned to the fucking 30.
Mm-hmm.
So Jameis had four touchdowns and 97
five.
Yards.
Oh.
The stat yards. Line was 148 yards, five touchdowns.
But I know there was one bomb.
Before that bomb, yeah, right. He had 97 yards in the fourth quarter with four TDs. So when you look at a game like that, it's like, oh, that's weird. That's an anomaly. So I choose to believe that this game is a fucking
I
anomaly.
Think the Packers are one of those teams, if they were to lose this week coming up, they're one of the teams. They're 0-2.
Detroit
at I'm
home.
Just saying. I'm just saying. Not my point. They're the kind of team, the Packers are the kind of team, if they are 0-2 or 1-3, they can right the ship. Whereas Giants, Redskins, Cowboys, some of these other teams go 0-2. You know, it starts to
get.
I don't think
the media is a little.
I think
different.
The Packers won't implode for a while yet.
And
I think as long as 12 is under center, they're going to be
what
good.
What did Detroit do? They lost. What did Minnesota do? They lost. What did Chicago do? They lost. So their division is 0-1 across the board. So let's start it all over, throw it all away.
16-game season, which it should 16 be.
16-game season, right? We just throw this one
I'm
away.
I'm just going on. Listen, all you fans out there, it's really a myth about the 17 games.
It doesn't actually exist.
Let's talk about the
AJ,
Saints.
Google how long the NFL season is. There's got to be someone saying it's still 16 games.
Let's talk about the Saints a little bit because the Saints,
you deserve it.
You know, the Saints came out and beat the shit out of a really good football team at home.
Also, now, because of this Jameis Winston five-touchdown game, you worried about the secondary at all? Because, I mean, like, Jair Alexander, he's the best corner in football.
Yo, they gave up 150 passing yards. It wasn't like they got
they're
smoked.
In the red zone. Where there's a red zone defense. You know what I'm saying? Like,
the defense got no help. The offense got, like, four first downs the entire game. I think the defense actually, in some cases, played well.
And there was 110 degrees on the field. So if you keep putting the defense back out there over and over and over again, look, it ain't going
to
be good.
I have nothing good to say about the Packers other than the fact that they somehow gave up only 150 pass yards. I'm trying to pull something out of thin air.
Maybe AJ does.
I have
got
a fun stat. So here we go. Aaron Rodgers, do you know where his lowest QBR is in his entire career?
Was it that game?
It's at Jacksonville throughout his entire
career. Oh, yeah. And he has 11 touchdowns, 11 picks. He plays awful in Florida. The Packers just historically don't play good in Florida. I remember being the Tampa Bay.
So it's the other way around. So you're so used to the cold, and then you're like, fuck, it's hot. I guess so. Can't take the heat. Stay out the kitchen.
I also read a stat this morning that if Aaron Rodgers dropped back 39 times and just spiked it, 39 times in a row, he would have had a better QBR than he did
that
yesterday.
That is a little alarming.
Funny. That's funny.
But love, listen, got to give the Saints the props. They beat the brakes off a really good team, and the Saints are 1-0. So that's that. So we ended the night with
Oh my God.
Wow, Rams versus the Rams. That's okay. We understand what it is. You can go to the next graphic if you
want.
That's
my fault.
34
twice. What else I did today? I made a K-cup, but I didn't change it, so I just got like water.
It's that kind of day, huh?
So you said, I made a cake. I'm like, you're baking this morning? Yeah, one thing about Sports Media, we bake cakes before the show.
You know what's so funny? My dad goes, I was over his house on Saturday night, and my dad's like, you know, I came and left, right? He's like, and I texted him today because he beat me in fantasy football, so I called him, and he goes, Dave, we got a cake for you for your birthday, and we forgot to give it to you. I was like, you forgot my birthday? Like, oh, my God.
That's how you know you're getting old. Oh, yeah, birthday dude. Cakes.
My mother called me and said, we forgot to give you. I'd be like, thank you so much for forgetting because I don't want to deal with that anyway.
Oh, you guys are different.
My
daughter knows how to sing happy birthday now. I'm going to make her sing happy birthday now.
She didn't get you a birthday cake?
No, she does it all. I'm like...
Yeah, okay. It's just another year older.
If the Packers won 38-0, we would have cakes, candles. It'd be a party favor right, 2 hours.
Party favor. Excited to do.
When's your birthday?
Same day as yours. How many times are you gonna ask me?
May 26th.
Yeah.
Well, by May 26th, who knows where we'll be.
I don't know if I'll still be with
you. Where I'll be.
Oh, my God. So I'm running this show by myself next year by this time for May 26th.
Dead, I'll be 57.
And what I'll do is I'll take my big gallon of water, right?
Look at that.
I'll pour out for my homies that didn't make it to next May 26th.
Well, I'll be Heinz 57 by then, bro.
So and you'll be Heinz 40. You missed the 4-0,
oh,
baby.
I can't wait to the bitter show in May.
Oh, it's going
to
be great. We're going to throw a party. It's going to be the party of the century, your 40th birthday. I'll make sure of it.
Yankees will be 8 games out. It'll be Memorial Day weekend. It'll be
Aaron Rodgers will be a Denver Bronco.
Yeah. They'll be fucking all. It doesn't matter. The offseason's I'm in hell until Aaron Rodgers comes back. Regardless.
So, anyway, we ended the night.
The rest of his career.
This brings up a point, and I know Matthew Stafford literally played his ass off and justifiably so, and we saw it coming from a mile away. He finally got a team. He's doing well. He did his thing, and they won the game. My only gripe with this game is how the Chicago Bears are now treating Justin Fields, because he came in on a couple gadgets, right? He even ran a touchdown in, and they still ultimately lose this game by 20, right? There's 20? No reason. What? Yeah, 34. It was like 34-14.
Yep.
Right, but the Bears were in it for a little while, right? So I'm like, oh, all right, they're hanging tough. But then the wheels fall off, and this is that, and Andy Dalton looks old, and if the Bears want to win this year, like if they think that for whatever reason the Packers could regress or Minnesota might not be good and they can make a run, they got to make the switch right now, man. I'm sorry, you gave Andy Dalton the veterans, like, hey man, it is your team, go out there, kid, get your job done.
The only thing we don't know is sometimes guys, like, they don't get it done. They're not getting it done in practice. Yeah, they're not making the throws.
I don't agree. I understand. I think Fields is the future, but if he's not ready, if he was ready, he'd be playing. That's what I'm trying to say.
But they put him in there in certain packages
to get him ready. Starting a game and to come in for a couple plays in the middle of a game that's pretty much out of hand,
so
it's very different.
So what you're saying is
Justin Fields up yesterday.
So we're saying like week six he's in, and you're saying because possibly, you know, the week way
the whole division lost,
everybody
right?
Lost, right? Pop him in.
Maybe we can get to home, you know, play our first home game, and Justin Fields will be the guy,
but
and like
does he
the fan base will be rabid. Bro, Twitter was blowing up. Chicago Bears fans were going nuts.
Yeah, but as a as a team executive, you have to expect that regardless, going into playing a tough team against a really good secondary, really good defensive line. They're almost like, you know what, we're going to throw Justin Fields in right now. It might have been it for him. His confidence could be shot.
You never know. Coaches could be like, he doesn't know all the plays. He doesn't know the.
He's got a little bit more ways to go, and I'm not trying to say
that. Or they might announce him starting next week.
Right. Or I'm giving the Bears too much credit. Or maybe you're right. Maybe he's ready and they just suck like they usually do.
Matt but Nagy sucks.
I'm trying to give them, I don't even think it's Nagy. I think
from my
just,
town.
I think what it is like he's just, it's not ready. The front office.
We'll see. I guess, again, that's the kind of
quarterbacks.
You'll have to just kind of wait and see.
The train is coming.
I mean, I just figured, you know, this offensive line is bad. You know, like the couple guys went at me on Twitter when I said, I think we've seen enough of Dalton already, you know, and the guy was like, well, the offensive line is bad. I was like, okay, cool. So if that's the case, then you need a guy that can be a little mobile. Andy Dalton is not mobile. You have to change.
But you have to realize that getting a young kid back there with a bad offensive line completely shatters. Look at Daniel Jones. He can't hold the football. Look at Darnold.
We didn't even touch on the fact that he turned the ball over again.
Right when they're constantly.
Listen, it could be one of two ways.
I say by week three he's in.
Week seven.
All right.
Week seven?
So to me, yeah. I think I don't know.
Bye.
Okay. I mean, and that's another thing, bro. Another thing, Nick Foles, right? He's got an earpiece in and street clothes. That's insane to me. When now you have a team, there's another team, the Washington football team, maybe make a play for Nick Foles. You know,
I think that's more.
That could be a realistic scenario. Option as well, because look. If the Washington football team wants to be relevant going forward, they need a quarterback. And for Nick Foles, the story that he has is incredible.
Nick Foles sucks
too. I always said that. I always said that, you know, Foles was thrown into the right situation, didn't play one game on the road that year, you know what I mean, where he made his run, right? And then they do the Philly special and everything.
The Eagles?
Yeah.
They played all their games on the road.
Not that year, bro. To end the year?
Remember they started off very elite, like Carson Wentz was having the MVP season. So
I'm saying the situation to get there was an easy road. Playoffs, they were lower seeds. I'm talking about the end of the year. Like, you know, they were put in a good situation. In any event, the backup quarterback situation for the Bears, that could alter things going forward. We'll see. But there is one more game to play tonight. The Las Vegas Raiders open up the Death Star against Lamar Jackson. And the Jacksonville Jaguars, and I say the Baltimore Ravens, I say open up the Death Star because the fans are finally able to be there, and you have to pay $1,700 a ticket just to get in the building. I'm talking about the nosebleed seats. Where do you see this one going? You got Baltimore -4.5, road dogs, as we said a couple times yesterday, home dogs, but these guys are the road dogs. I mean, they're road favorites. I'm all over the place right now.
How hot is it in Vegas right now? I guess it'll be at night, though. No.
But it's also in the dome.
It's indoors.
It's completely indoors. They don't open up.
It's like the Cowboys thing. I think they have a retractable. They can do whatever they want.
They can take off and actually go into outer space.
This game could be played on Mars.
We don't know. To me, I think the Raiders might get off to a cool, fast start where everybody's really pumped up. But then ultimately, I think the Raiders defense just loses sight that Lamar Jackson is another human joystick. He does his thing. I got the Ravens. I'll throw it to AJ. I'll take the Ravens -4.5.
In this game, it's a little bit shocking. I'm very high on the Baltimore Ravens, but I think I'm going to take Oakland with the spread. If you go ahead and you look at the Raiders, whenever they begin their season, they're usually pretty damn good. It's towards the end where they really start to cool out. The only thing I'm kind of iffy about is the fact that the Ravens are 7-1 against the spread in their last 8 games. I'll take the Raiders.
Okay, Raiders +4.5.
Gooch. I'm taking the Raiders. Opening day excitement.
I'm going to take the Raiders with the points, definitely. Ravens are dealing with injuries on both sides of the ball. I don't know who's going to carry the football for them. Tyson Williams.
That'll be the tomorrow's topic of conversation.
Patchwork
waiver wire
situation going on in their backfield. Obviously, Lamar Jackson is impossible to really game plan for. He's a joystick, so he could kind of change everything in a snap of a finger. But I think the Raiders, the excitement of opening the new stadium, in terms of having fans there, I think they played there last year, but it didn't really count. Right, because there was no fans there.
The Raiders? Yeah. They didn't have any fans.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. But they did play in the stadium last year, so it's not their first time. But having the fans back in that stadium, the excitement, the fact that the Ravens are reeling a little bit, they don't really have any weapons. And if the Raiders have any strengths, I think it's covering with their linebackers. They're fast.
Mm-hmm. All right. So
I'll go with the Raiders.
Three of you guys are on the Raiders.
But they're going to cover.
Three of you guys are on the Raiders with the spread. I'm going to take the Ravens to get it done. So With that being said, it's been a long one. We want to thank you guys for sticking with us throughout this entire show. These Monday shows are going to be loaded as we go through the entire docket of the NFL Week 1. We put a bow on Week 1 tonight. Tomorrow, we'll get into your waiver wire things for fantasy football. We're into Week 2 already, believe it or not, starting tomorrow. So, Jimmy, thank you for coming on in early.
Thanks for coming. Sorry, I don't know every single NFL game and player.
No, it's okay.
This is like
this is like
fantasy nirvana here. You guys were mentioning players. I'm like,
we had four. I felt like an old man
at the bar just wants to drink whiskey.
There was a couple times I looked over at Jimmy and he was like,
"You guys are mentioning players." That's the way you young kids do it now. That's the way, you know.
I'm 40.
I go by who stinks.
All right. Well, the Giants stink. With that being said, Jimmy, thank you very much for coming in, and of course for Sturch and Cooch. This has been another episode of the Chop Sports Podcast, and we'll see you guys tomorrow.
Tune in tomorrow at 6 a.m. to the Jimmy Palumbo Show.
The Jimmy Palumbo Show and a new podcast coming on.
I'm sorry.
I have a new podcast as well called What the Heck Happened to That Guy? It's different. It's fun. It's short. You guys are going to get a kick out of some of the shitty players we talk about.
I'm stoked about Randy Vilardi episode, but anyway.
Let's do it. Thanks, guys. We'll see you tomorrow.
We'll see you.